Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody to the Optimize My Life show on the Blog Talk Radio program nationwide that broadcasts Monday through Friday, noon to 1 Eastern Time, and 9 o'clock for the coach's call on Saturday morning. This is the Optimize My Life show, sponsored by the Hope Collection, the 501c3 that was founded by Joel and Artith Griffin over 10 years ago. This is a program that for lunch we serve up hope. And that our goal today is to do that through in the area composing of the ideas of the world of travel and how it affects our lives and how it can affect your life. And more importantly, how you can affect and affect the lives of others. That is so significant with what's happening in the world today, the events that are going on. And so I just want to say to everyone, welcome. We're excited. I'll tell you what, today started out, I thought it was going to be a slow day. I had a couple honeydews to fulfill. And instead, I'm backed up. The Lord just keeps putting things in front of us that says, I need you to do this. And so I today am just so excited that I can share what's on my heart. And we also share with others, and we bring leaders and people who are experienced and are mature and they are visionary in their outlook to life and have a foundation of faith that goes before them. And as a result, their ability to fulfill achievement and fulfill seeing revelation of things happening for the glory of God in magnificent ways. I stand back and wonder and marvel how Rick and Brenda Reese, continuing even to this moment, are still in their life touching lives, and they've dedicated their life to doing that. So if you have a friend like that, and I'm now saying to you, everyone that's on this call or who see hear it on archives, if you have Rick and Brenda Reese's friends, you've got friends indeed. Rick, good afternoon.
Hello, hello. How are you? It's so good to be on the show, Ron. Thanks so much. It's always welcome that you actually set this up and that you are leading it. And just to hear your opening always is it starts the day. It begins today, and so thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's appreciation that is long-standing and long-viewing. Can you excuse me just 1 second?
Sure.
I'm trying to.
Excuse me.
I had a sickle.
Hey, you know, I was, Colin Powell, with his passing, and of course, the search is on for another speaker for the event this summer, the African American Veterans Memorial event. And so, of course, the search is on for another speaker. But as a military person myself, that was one of the things that I did in following General Colin Powell, is to understand the secrets to his success that he didn't keep secret, but he shared with the world, and especially those of us in the military, and across all services. And we would study him. And we would study his leadership principles. And what a man. And what a life. And a life well lived. And of course, we had planned to have him as our speaker, for the event this past July. And that would have been tremendous. Of course, timing is everything. And then so, but, it's beautiful when you can real time come across people that are life-changing, game changers. And he was such a person. And I had brought up, because this is something that I actually looked at myself and studied personally, and I'll just go over it real quick, but his 13 rules, General Colin Powell's 13 rules of effective leadership. And one is, it's not as bad as you think. It will look better in the morning. And that's so true. The other, I'm just going to go through them real quick. Get mad and then get over it. Don't become so attached to an argument that if it fails, your ego goes with it. Boy, ain't that the truth. It can be done. Be careful what you choose. You may get it. Don't let adverse facts stand in the way of a good decision. You can't make someone else's decision, and don't let them make yours. Check small things. Share credit. Remain calm and be kind. Have a vision. We know the importance of that, and that's why we appreciate Joel and what he's done with the Hope Collection. Don't take counsel of your fears or naysayers. Perpetual optimism is a force multiplier. Ron, that describes you and Linda. Perpetual optimism is a force multiplier. And here's that was the 13th. Here's the bonus rule. The rules conflict. That's a good thing. That's probably how we live our lives, right? If the rules conflict, that's a good thing. But the principles, and it's so awesome when you can meet people, even like yourself, that exhibit principles that are life principles that anyone can look and see the example of. I was listening to this quote the other day, and it said, I was reading, and it said, the world is changed by your example, not your opinion. And Ron, you actually live out that example. You know, that's world changing. So I just appreciate you for it.
Well, that's why I wanted to make sure that I qualified for the World Changers, the Marketplace Ministry. I'm still working to achieve that in my heart and mind and spirit. It's not something that I can rest on my laurels because, yeah, what we did yesterday might have been good, but you know what? The need is greater today. So I can open up my life, my day with the same outlook, knowing that we can make a difference. And you know what? We pray about it. Gary Alpenstein and I pray about it. That's how we meet phone-wise every single morning. And we start out with prayer, and the first thing we do is we humble ourselves, first of all, because we couldn't do anything where we're doing now or what we were doing before, and we wouldn't be where we are without him. And our life would be such a mess. I can mess up a lot of stuff real easy, you know. I was trying to assemble a little metal file cabinet with – it had trays in it, and these things were trays and was on wheels. And I'm assembling this thing, and the instructions, of course, were originally written in, I don't know, Bangladesh or something. You couldn't read them, and they converted it to English, and nothing made sense. So you look at the pictures, and they didn't make sense. And, of course, there was a rack that was designed and manufactured in somewhere out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean somewhere. So the quality wasn't at the level that, you know, normally a lot of us take for granted. But I'm putting this thing together, and I finally realized, Lord, I need your help. I need your direction. And when I prayed that prayer right then, it was like he said, okay, Ron, let me help. Let me help. And in about 15 minutes, I had that whole thing put together. And now, what happened is when I ordered one, the company sent me two. And I called them back, and I said, hey, I only ordered one. And they said, don't worry about it. Just like, wow, that was a good deal, two for one. So now I got a rack to give another friend who needs. I'm sitting, and I'm surrounded by, well, there's a basket of files and paperwork, and I got stuff stacked here, I got stuff stacked there. I'm surrounded. My computer's in front of me with the dashboard for today's show. And but I'm surrounded. I need this rack to organize all those things because we got different things that we're responsible for. But if I hadn't just that moment let go of controlling the moment.
Wow, that's good.
I wouldn't have that rack yet. It'd still be in pieces. Or quite frankly, it probably would have been thrown out the front door in the garden. my attitude, my persona doesn't have all the kind of patience that someone who is more nimble in assembling stuff. And I'm pretty good, but let me tell you, this thing was bad. It was the screws didn't line up in the bowl. But
you get the right things right, and in the right timing. And see, and that's what's most important, is to get the right things right at the right time, and to stop and to take a minute. In fact, that was one of my quotes today, is sometimes in life you have to slow down to catch up. And that's one of the hardest things to do, especially, you know, people that listen into the show, and most of us are hard chargers in life. You know, keep going, what's next? Okay, keep going, never stopping, keep going. And what you did in taking that moment, even though it may have been a moment of frustration, to say, okay, Lord, show me what this is. Show me how. And I need your divine direction. And to take that moment and just ask, you know, ask for wisdom, ask for peace, you know, ask for direction. It's almost like when we drive and they say men have a bad habit of this, is we don't stop to ask for directions, we figure it out real time. And where do we end up?
Somewhere, but not where we wanted to be.
I know I have that. I used to have that problem before we launched the military satellites, and we have GPS now.
There you go. And Rick, in real time, in real action, you solved a problem, not just for you, but for the world.
I solved a humanity problem. And not just
incredible.
Me by myself. Teamwork makes the dream work. But isn't that amazing to stop and even listen to GPS? I know when it first came out, my wife was my real-time navigator.
Uh-huh.
And she had a little... Brenda was the real-time navigator when I'd go places, because she just has a memory that, I mean, it's just amazing. She just remembers and she knows directions. It's just something naturally that she does. And so there was a little conflict with GPS when it first came out. I said, Brenda, you're arguing with the machine here. You're arguing with the computer. You're arguing with the navigation system. But they did have their little conflicts. And imagine having a conflict with the GPS and the sweet little voice that we had on there with the GPS. And, of course, who won out? GPS. And now we both listen to GPS and the sweet little voice that we have on GPS. And it was really interesting when it was when they had the tom-tom. We had a tom-tom, and you could put any voice in there. You could put any voice in there that you wanted to listen to. Comedians or any voice. We put Whoopi in there one time. Or Popeye.
Which reminds you that you do have to be careful with which voice you talk to.
we do. And she put Denzel Washington in there one time. Well, you know, it was just amazing. It still amazes me, technology. But she knows she lost out to GPS. But sometimes in life, you have to stop. You have to ask for directions. And the natural tendency that most people have is not to stop. And again, sometimes you have to slow down, you know, to catch up. And because just like you was talking this morning in assembling the shelf there that you have, you know, sometimes it looks confusing. Life looks confusing, and you don't know. You can't just put it together any old way. You can't throw it out, you know. But look what happened, Ron. When you stopped, got directions, you know, and completed it, then you realize where they sent you to. And in your honesty and integrity, you call a company, say, hey, I ordered one. And they said, don't worry about it. Blessings flow, you know, when you take God into consideration. You know, that's when you keep your blessings going, you know, as opposed to when you take personal control, everything stops with you. You know, but when you ask for directions, it's almost like you shift that responsibility to him, and he knows what to do with it. He knows the steps that we take, you know, from the beginning to the end. And so, man, wow, what a life principle. That's what I mean. So the life principles that you actually live by example, and, of course, some of the greatest things we do is beyond us even knowing. I do great things by mistake, you know, just because of the way we live and whose we are and who we depend on. Your mistakes have turned into victories.
Boy, oh boy, this is heavy this morning, Rick. This is incredible. Hey, I wanted to share with you a couple things when we're done with the show today. I met a woman on Sunday. I had an appointment to meet the mayor of the city of Buffalo at the radio station, and I was there a little early, and I was meeting a new member to the search team. Dale Martin will be joining us here. I talked to him a little while ago, and we just got to take care of the paperwork. And he is registering as a junior executive along with his girlfriend. They're both adults, and she'll be living in Atlanta. And she can't wait to get. She leaves tomorrow for that venue, but she's looking to launch also. So we've got two folks that, because of Gary Helfenstein introduced me to this gentleman, and he's a community developer. Gosh, does that sound familiar? For the city of Buffalo, and he runs a company called Western New York Works, and it's all about that very thing. He's been a radio host and show on ESPN Radio in Buffalo, on the Buzz TV, that's the local public, privately owned television broadcasting company, and he's had a show called Western New York Works on that, interviews companies and leaders and community leaders about helping develop people's lives in our community. And he's now partnering with us with a vision of understanding that what the travel industry can do for him and the leadership and what marketplace ministries and being plugged in. There are two things that I taught him, and they were the three. The first one is you got to get connected. You're not plugged in, you're not connected, you're not going anywhere, anytime. Number two, you got to be plugged into the right person and listen to the people that got information that can do that, and fulfill that. Number three, you do have to have a vision. Number four, you have to have a tool that works. Now, we've helped to try and provide him with those things, and with his maturity and understanding and his enthusiasm and love of serving, good fit. So that's moving that process forward. He's also working with us in the Hope Collection to develop a number of programs that will really create great things for our community. As a result, and where I met with the mayor of the city of Buffalo to discuss a program of development called Jobonomics, it's a formulated program already operating in 55 cities. There's 55 multi-million dollar projects that are operating to improve lives of people by creating companies and programs, and not job training that teaches somebody how to push a broom and work at Wendy's. These are career opportunities. One of the programs, I was watching on national television the other night, and they brought up this program where in a community, they take Jobonomics, takes and creates a company that offers to veterans and anybody that wants to become involved with become an employee to start to work to convert school buses from gas to battery operated. And they have these operated in about 13 cities across the country, Jobonomics. And now we're going to bring it to Buffalo. We have a huge private school system company here. It has hundreds of buses all over Western New York. And so we're introducing them to do this, and we're going to create job situations that pay very well and provide the training and the opportunity and the program to give a number of people a new lease on life economically. And, of course, we offer a lot of other areas of growth to deliver right along with it. Well, that's just one. We've got technical and the internet and electronic age program developing in health area. There's a number of organizational programs that we can do that with them, too. Housing. I've had the plans for TaylorMade Village for 4.5 years, and across from me in my office, I have a tube rolled up with a piece of paper, big blueprint from the city of Buffalo with 354 lots that are empty today that we're going to be able to develop and put on homes. The water, the sewer, the electric is already in place. The streets are in. They're paved, everything about it. They just don't have any homes on them. They're empty lots because they were burnt down because at one time it was the drug capital of the city of Buffalo. And now it's just wasteland. And so we're going to put up a whole new housing project owned and operated for the benefit of veterans and first responders and their extended families. What makes Hope Homes special? Anybody, there's lots of developers that go and come into the city and they build a series of homes and they're beautiful and they're good for about 5 years and then they're wrecks because the developer leaves. And then the city's stuck with maintaining and trying to operate them. Well, here's what makes a Hope Home development totally different. Number one, every home comes with a life insurance policy on the principal. So if something happens to them, the home is paid off and the family keeps the home. Starts what's called generational prosperity. We're going to break the cycle of poverty for families. And how you do that is you create an asset. How do you do that is, well, people have got to pay to live in something place anyways. Why not if they got a home that's got, the second part of this, every home has a maintenance contract on it. That it'll never go backwards in value. It'll always maintain a first place. So the investors will love to invest because they know they've got a protection on their investment. So the home will create value, increase value, and increase the value. And by the way, the home becomes something on the tax rolls, which right now is an empty lot, and it's costing the city money to maintain the area. Number three, we got the life insurance policy, maintenance contract, and we will have in the village, we will have a community center run by a church or an organization close to the people of the community, and they'll run it, they'll own it, and they can have events in there, and they can rent it out for weddings and events for families. They can use it as a centerpiece for the students, the kids, to be able to go there for sports and after-school activities. We'll bring in the there's a school program that teaches kids. They bring in volunteers in the different arts, writing, art, music, and they bring in the center, and they bring in experts who volunteer to teach the kids a program, and when they're done, they graduate, they can get additional credits on their certificate for education. And this will also be a center and a centerpiece for people to be able to utilize and benefit their community. Will have a couple of brick and mortar, like a beauty salon or a recruiting center for the services, maybe an insurance office that somebody would like to be in that business and have, and they want to have them. But it'll be small operational things. Well, donut shop, got to have a donut shop, place for the police to go to now and again. So this is a community. And that's what a Hope's Homes run. And we have the Attainable Homes Queen. Her name is Barbara Ively, and she will next week will be on the board of the Hope Collection, and she is incredible and talented and connected in the world of construction, housing, and real estate like you wouldn't believe. Oh, and we got funding. You know what? Our community center, and we're going to call it the Hope Collection, so Hope Center, but that's what it's going to be called. And we'll have assets, and we have the money to back this whole program. Every time I start to move this program further in the past, they always go, well, get us the money, and then we'll talk about it. That isn't how it works. You get a vision, You put energy behind it. God's got all the money in the world. If you just put it together and you get enough people together that want to have the same vision and work together, it gets done. The only reason it doesn't get done is the people did the opposite of what Colin Powell said, Rick. They let the naysayers control. They let fear control.
Right.
They let the camp be never done that way, people. It could be the bureaucrats that want to have a piece of the pie but don't do anything to make the pie work. So you can't rely on those people. You got to work together in unity and optimism to work together. And that's what the Hope Collection delivers. So.
That's powerful. That is awesome, Ron. What a vision. And,
well,
and that's a vision for every community in the, looking at, you know, Hope Homes and in that generational village that you're talking about. And, you know, with all the generations that are there, intergenerational village, and to be able to support everyone.
When Joel developed the Interactive Management Program, Interactive, I've got the title here, and it's how you pronounce it properly. Let me just get the paperwork so I can say what I'm supposed to be able to describe to you. It's here somewhere in my paperwork. We use the Virtual Value Interactive Network, VVIN database project management system to support the programs in the fields of faith, family, food, health and wellness, housing, energy, education, and the arts. That's what hope is. That's what, that's our theme. That's our vision. And Joel originally started this program working with the World Council of Mayors. And they had gone through some problems and issues that internally in the membership, board membership, and the leader had a stroke, and that created a lot of disruptions, and things were going to go fall apart. And Joel didn't want to see it fall apart. Well, the Pentagon had found out what Joel was doing, and they had created a program called the Sea of Goodwill. And what it was is the Pentagon recognized starting about 15 years ago that the armed forces had been dumping out officers and their families all over the world, about 250,000 life members of the service. And they were without a mission, without a cause, and without a means of other than their pension from the service, and that wasn't enough to live on with your family. So Joel, after conferring and going to the Pentagon, was introduced to a number of power brokers, and they said, we want you to bring hope to the Sea of Goodwill, which was a white paper written by Lieutenant Colonel Donald Sutherland, who was the head of the Joint Forces for the Armed Forces, and veterans coming out of the service. And so that was how hope became. And still is operating with a greater impact today than even we talked about back then. Gary Helvetstein, I see you're on the show. Thanks for calling in. I see his number there, I believe, 474-9055.
Hello, hello. I'm on the road, so I have it on silent. Is the road noise too much for you, the broadcast?
Not at all.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be on board here. Ron, I want to commend you on what you just read. Can I, because I'm a slow learner, which just said you read off the paper? It really summarizes the mission and the vision and the values, perhaps, of the Hope Collection. I thought it was superior.
Well, those are Joel's words, and guess what? When you get home, it'll be the email. Linda, I found that paperwork from a presentation Joel did at a Hope meeting in Buffalo, New York, several years ago. And at that meeting, I remember meeting a beautiful young lady named Carolyn Helfenstein and a guy named Gary. And they were at that meeting where he used that to describe what hope is all about. And that was when we really got involved and connected through Ray Goodrich and kind of moving things forward. So anyways, I've sent you a copy of that.
Good. Excellent. Can you read it to our audience, or is it not
just
in front of you?
Well, I read the highlights of it a minute ago.
Those are great highlights. I'm begging you to do it again. Play it again,
man. Well, you know, we are on the prefaces of making an incredible leap forward after what we've gone through for the last 2 years of such destruction of relations, destruction of trust, destruction of the American dream and system. And what we're doing is as organization teamed with the company that has, number one, their theme this year is hope, deliver hope. Last year was healing the nation with vacations. And we've got a leader in that field who runs Marketplace Ministries. So Rick Reese is a leader that's part of the team that we are in. We're in the restoration mode, guys. And we're part of the mission of restoring and being that research and restore center to put into people's hands, empowering them, empowering families. You know, you don't hear much about that on the nightly news. It's all about tearing somebody down or what they did was wrong, or I'm going to get this person out of office, or I'm going to get them to jail, or I'm going to destroy them. It's all that crap. No, guys, where we are, we're a light in the world. And that's what we're called to do and be, and I believe we are. And so going forward are exciting times. And when other people are ready to jump off the cliff, we're ready to help. Come on. Come on back on board. We got lifesavers. We're passing out lifesavers, guys.
That's huge, Ron. And I actually looked up, and I never knew this. Thanks for sharing the Sea of Goodwill as a white paper. I went to it online, and I'm going to print it out. And it's really interesting because it is written by the Joint Staff of the United States, the military, and to help veterans and those who are returning from active duty and making that transition back into the world. I can't say real society because we're real society. But it says the sea of goodwill assists our veterans in achieving the capacity for greatness that exists in them, their families, and the families of our fallen as they transition into civilian society. And it goes on to really just clarify what that means in the military working with public organizations, private organizations, and all the different organizations. And, of course, Joel, as a visionary, said, hey, you know, we have an organization here, HOPE, that can help in that transition. And so when you really look at it, it really does directly link what we're doing to the Pentagon and their program and of goodwill to help military members transition from active duty back into civilian society. And so that is it's amazing. I never knew that, even though I heard it, but I never knew that it was an actual white paper that was generated by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know, to assist that. And Joel said, hey, count me in. You know, I've got an organization here. And so we're part of that direct connect. You know, they call it the warrior gateway, you know, that services the families. And so when you talk about, you know, the Hope Homes, the village, and Gary, this is kind of what you were asking for, but the life insurance policy on the principal, making sure that it always stays an asset and it doesn't fall into decay. And with that maintenance contract, of course, and of course the community center, the empowerment center, Gary, that's what, you know, we were talking about, you know, in Buffalo. And then of course I had come up with the whole thing for the community centers, community empowerment centers that God had given me. But Gary, when you start describing what you had as a vision and the vision of Hope, Ron, it's the same thing. you know, that centerpiece that pulls the community together and holds the community together. And the fact that we actually have the funding, I just love how you were saying it, Ron, where, you know, everything starts with the vision, not money. You know, people will stop and fall and never get started because they think they need to have the money first, but the money comes to the vision, not the other way around. And so when you can start with a vision, you know, of the Hope Homes and that village, that intergenerational village, in support of the sea of goodwill, that's at the state, at the country level, the national level, bam, you've got something going. And you know what's beautiful about it, and we know this, is that Healing Nations, we're leading the country based on us coming out of this pandemic, you know, with something that they can, that everyone we know will be able to use as they're recovering in so many different ways from this pandemic, which has affected so many people in so many different ways. So, Ron, when you talk about Jobonomics, and is it Vollmer? Chuck Vollmer?
Chuck Vollmer.
And the power of that program, and I had a chance to meet Chuck when Joel and I went to Phoenix. And we met with the gentleman in Phoenix, and I heard Chuck give his presentation. Powerful, powerful presentation. And so when you consider that in the light of the Great Resignation and all the people that are saying, I'm not going back to work, I'm tired. And the millions of people who are deciding not to go back to their jobs. And so when you're looking at the Jobonomics, boy, oh boy, that is going to be so powerful. And again, you know, we talked travel on Tuesday. When you look at even a career in travel, that's powerful. And just being able to, become a wedding destination specialist. All the training is free. So when people are looking to transition out of what they're doing and perhaps do something that's a lot more fun and makes money as well, why not travel? But yeah, I'm going to print out this paper, this white paper. Gary, you would love it, this white paper, The Sea of Goodwill. If you get a chance, Google The Sea of Goodwill. And it's a white paper created by the Joint Chief of Staff. And I don't know the year, let's see. By General Major John Copeland and Colonel David, like you said, Ron Sutherland, Office of the Chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff.
When he retired, the Lieutenant Colonel, they had a big celebration honoring him at the Arlington Cemetery Convention Center. And all the military brass from the Pentagon were there and other dignitaries. And Donald invited Joel and Ardeth on stage. And at that presentation, as he was retiring, what he told the entire group is that the Hope Collection represented the absolute best of any organization that has an outreach to uplift and build and has integrity to truly represent what the white papers was developed and designed to direct and complete. That's what the Hope Collection is, and that everybody, they used the Hope Collection as the standard. And when they went out to 313 cities, he and their office and their staff, and they reviewed every nonprofit or profit organization that claimed to be a supporter of the military or veterans, and there were two letters that went out. The first one, cease and desist immediately. If they were not doing what they said they were doing, in other words, they were getting rich, but the people they weren't helping. And the other letter was, you are doing good, here's some improvements, and here's the model you should do. You should be a servant leader model, and this is how you should operate and follow the pattern of the Hope Collection. That was from the stage of the Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C., by Lieutenant Colonel Dale Sutherland. Now, guys, he's now the executive director of Easter Seals, CEO. And guess what? Easter Seals is one of our supporters of benefits for every family that has a child, even an adult child, with congenital diseases. That means they were born with it. Easter Seals can provide services.
anything from equipment to, like, in Rochester, New York, we have a school that's set up for autistic children. And I'll tell you, this place is growing like crazy, sponsored by Eastern Seals. And how much does it cost the parents? Nothing. And that's a Hope spot. Hope. Now, Easter Seals is a standalone, nationally supported international organization. It's one of the top rated. 99% or 90% of the money raised goes to the Apple application. They don't go to have fat cats running the organization. It goes to application and to services to the patients and the customers and the clients that they have. That's one of our services that we offer on a day-to-day basis to anybody.
Powerful. Powerful. You are absolutely right, Ron. As I'm reviewing this white paper, it is hope, and hope is it. It really is. And so I can imagine General Sutherland giving that, making that announcement on the stage. It says it's potential. It says the country understands the independent relationship and responsibility of all participants, military and civilian, to care for our veterans and families. However, we may not have a clear understanding of how we support the other. And what we're doing is we're creating and building that understanding. And when I look at the areas that we support, I can see where we are that beacon, that shining light, that beacon. We're looking at arts, education, energy, faith-based, family, food and water, health, and housing, and support of veterans, first responders, and their families intergenerationally. And just our mission alone and how these areas break down to offer opportunities, you know, for the veterans and first responders and their families. That is so powerful. So, Ron, I thank you for sharing that bit of history. That it's amazing what you don't know, but the pieces that the light shines on adds to the whole understanding of what we're doing and why, you know, what we're doing is so important and critical, you know, to our nation at this time. I think that's just amazing. So thanks for sharing that. And then, of course, Easter Seals, I didn't know that's where the retired general went to. And every time Joel would mention Easter Seals and you would mention Easter Seals, I'd go, oh, okay, wow. People of goodwill, never knowing the direct connect, where they totally understand what we're doing.
And you know, it's really cool. I have a copy of that white papers. I have a binder, a white binder, and it was used to be 2 inches binder, and now I got to get one that's 3 inches for all the paperwork that's in it, because the Hope's Home Tailor Made Village program is now launched again because of Jobonomics and the fact that there's funding for that coming through that. And I have a copy of those white papers. I've had it since the day I printed it, and Joel shared it with me. And Joel, he's quoted it a lot of times, but Rick, it's no surprise because it's white papers. It's, you know, it's a study. And if you like you, Rick, you are understand because you've been involved in programs and projects to do what those white papers want to have happen. You've been, that's been your life. And so you can take a look at that and consume it and realize the validation of it and the power that it represents. And here, the Pentagon, and that's why, you know, the other thing I have here, it's funny all this stuff comes up on the show today. And I have all this. I'm leaving to go speak with the president and owner of a large radio station in town here at 1 o'clock. And I have a letter from the Pentagon, Department of the Army, and this is from John Baldini. Dear Joel Griffin, thank you for your persistent, uplifting, and the great support your organization delivers. And then it goes on. It's a set of three paragraphs here of commending the Hope Collection and what we're doing. And this was delivered to Joel last July 6th, week after his anniversary of 40. Actually, that was his 50th wedding anniversary. And a week after they discovered that the cancer had been coming back to attack him. But I have this letter, I have a copy of it right here, and from the Department of the Army. And so we are, the reason I share that, Rick, and Gary and anybody else on the call or might hear this show and, you know, send it to somebody, the reason I say that is not just justification, the certification and the accolade and the acknowledgement of the power of the vision that Joel created when he started the Hope Collection is alive and well and growing today more than ever. And because, I called Gary the other day when I was talking, and you're the same way, Rick, you're Johnny Appleseed. There are today many Johnny Appleseeds that are starting over to plant the seeds of success, growth, and joy in the lives of people. That's what we're doing every time we help someone have a vacation, have a trip. That's what we're doing when we set up somebody who didn't have a career to having one, and now they're totally educated in the travel industry and hospitality industry, and suddenly they can just use it to do that because we have a competition program that'll pay them enough money and plus give them a free car. I mean, you know, where are these opportunities? People are looking all over for them. They're searching for them. They're going to employer after employer in the world, and guess what? They can't find them because those things don't do that. But if you own a business that you can put in your pocket to start for $79, my goodness, how much success, how much can we expand and return the ship around? Let's face it, we've been grounded a little bit. We got too close to the shore, and we're supposed to be sailing. And so now we got the opportunity to right the ship. And we're part of that group to do that, guys, because we've been called on. Look, God has blessed each of us with talents and skills and experiences and the reputation for integrity and representing the kingdom of God. We're the light in the world that he needs. You know, I had someone I was talking to, and they said, well, you know, God, you know, yeah. I said, you know, yeah, God, right. God wants it, and he wants it to happen. But never forget in the equation, he needs you and me to do it. Now, it doesn't have to be if it's not you or it's not me. He'll find somebody to do it. But in many cases, he called on us to do it, and it's up to us to respond. And you know what? You don't know who the person he wants to call on to do something in what you're doing that will cause them to do what God wants them to do. So it's never, you can't say enough right things to the wrong person, and you can't say enough wrong things to the right person. God will determine that. And so some words that were shared with me when I started in the travel industry is, Ron, just be patient. Understand that God's in charge, and you just go and do what you're supposed to do, it'll happen. And if you go off track, it won't happen. But don't blame God for that or think that his plan is messed up. You didn't follow his. Just got to get back on track and follow his plan, and it'll be successful. I'm shutting up. Guys, take it over.
Powerful. Definitely, definitely right on, spot on. And I'm just amazed as you was talking, I was just glancing at the sea of goodwill that I never knew as a document existed. And but it adds that linkage to what we're doing and in service to our country, our nation, as the top leaders of the Joint Chief of Staff. And General Powell actually was the chairman at one point. And but it just provides that linkage, and I'm impressed that the senior military leadership understood the needs of soldiers once they finished their soldiering and try to transition back into society. civilian society, which is not as easy as people would think. But in just glancing through the sea of goodwill documents, everything is just, this has been an awakening moment for me where everything, you know, that linkage, everything makes sense, even more so than it did before. And and here's how it ends. Here's how it closes. Experience has shown that true reform is impossible without developing a robust civilian society upon which cultural transition institutions are grounded. Likewise, civilian society by its very nature is derived from grassroots initiatives, of which HOPE is a grassroots initiative. So civilian society grows when citizens join together for the betterment of each other and their cultural entities. The sea of goodwill improves outcome and closes gaps that exist in the transition of our military veterans into civilian society. And here's how it closes. Just as the greatest generation was, today's young veterans are our future leaders. Supporting them now will ensure the cycle of volunteerism and provide opportunities for the continuum of service needed to keep HOPE alive for generations of warriors to come, and of course, first responders and their families. Then it closes with a quote from Admiral Michael Mullen, United States Navy. He says, there's a lot of change going on, how we touch people throughout our country that are out there in what I call the sea of goodwill who want to help our people and their families. We have got to figure out a way to do that. And as we know, as part of the HOPE Collection, we've done that. We've figured out a way. Joel, as a visionary, has figured out the way and has lit the torch for us to follow and to grab that torch and to carry on, you know, a way to help out those families and those first responders intergenerationally. And so powerful. So thanks, Ron. This has been very, very enlightening for me. And it's always nice to know what is the foundation for the work that you're doing and that you've committed to. And and this actually does provide that that linkage. Not that I was going to stop. I'm done. I'm finished. No, Ron, this is just you. No, this is a linkage. And what we're doing here with the HOPE Collection is just picking up that torch. And it's amazing because people don't understand the visionary real time. That's why, Gary, people think you're crazy. We know you're not. But you're a visionary. And when you share that vision, people are still trying to figure it out. But over time, looking back, they'll say, oh, Gary was ahead of his time. And the same thing with yourself, Ron, and others that are listening on the call. You know, people think visionaries are crazy, but we're not. We're just seeing something that hasn't happened yet. And when you talk about and describe the HOPE Homes Village, man, I was there. I was participating in a wedding, sitting there watching a wedding in the Empowerment Center. I was on the basketball court shooting hoops in your Empowerment Center gym.
It's just
well, you know what, gentlemen? Without a vision, people perish. Your support, your backing will perish. And I read an ancient text that said, paint the vision clearly on a sign and hang it from right into the main entrance of the city. And then and I add to that, the vision can't perish. So the vision has been clearly painted here. And next we have to develop the mission statement, and of course the values speak for themselves, although I like to shorten the value statement to family, faith, and friends. But, you know, if you break it down, it really means the same as the seven pillars. And, Rick, I know that you've got a vision and a mission statement and values stated on your community development centers as they open up across the nation. So it's just an exciting time, guys, and I think the vision now having been painted a little more clearly, is just beginning to be put into operation. There's still miles to go before we sleep.
Amen.
Wow, that's a famous quote. Did you do that? Did you come up with that, Gary? Miles to go before we sleep. Write the vision, make it plain. I see those are your words.
No, I paraphrase that from another ancient Middle Eastern philosopher who just happens to be my Lord and Savior, but we're not going to go there at this moment.
I would believe that you actually would come up with a quote similar. That is the faith that I have in you, my friend.
We've got some great people
on this call here, and we always talk, and of course there's people that listen, but we have some great people that are listening as well on this call and that will hear the playback, because every show is recorded, right, Ron?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Rick, you can take everybody here on the show and go to the archives and forward this show to someone they want to invite to the show and say, hey, listen to the show, see what you think. Or if it's somebody that you're working on to talk about a HOPES program or your community enterprise zone programs, you can send a copy of this to them. Do you realize the gravitas? I love that word. That's my word of the month. The gravitas that you guys bring to the table and the information that's shared through the hope and all the seeds that Joel and all the other people have planted, this brings such credibility when you're trying to share with a group or an individual what you're bringing to them. It's powerful. So, guys.
It really is. I've always heard Joel mention the Pentagon and how we're working on behalf of the Pentagon. And for me, the white paper, The Sea of Goodwill, really clarifies that connection. Of course, I just said, okay, great, and just ran with it. But in looking at and reading The Sea of Goodwill, a white paper that was put out by the Pentagon, now it really just drives it home for me of what we're doing and how we actually are serving our nation and what we're doing and choosing to do with hope. And just that connection for such a time as now, post-pandemic, you know, I think is so critically important, especially with as many military members, 22 a day, committing suicide and feeling that there is no hope. And, I mean, we're right here. And so our challenge will be just making sure, you know, that our message is getting out, helping others by helping them help others. And that message is getting out of all the services. When you go through Optimize My Life and all the different sites that Joel has put together, everything a person needs is there. And whether it be the eight areas, then they all break down into specific organizations that are providing those services. I mean, you could spend weeks going through Optimize My Life and logging in, which is free, optimizemylife.org, and the Hope Collection, you know, .com, and of course the Resource Center site as well. But as a visionary, Joel has thought all of this stuff out and the plethora of information that is there on the websites.
It's incredible. Guys, thank you so much. I'd like to remind you that you can forward this or any other Hope show, blog radio show. You can forward any day of the week of anything that we cover and forward it to somebody and use it as a tool to invite and bring other people back or to impress them with what you're building. And I believe that this information has value to help people realize that we're here to help them and we can. Thanks, guys. Love you all.
We'll see you.
Lord's our story.
Amen.